So far, we've talked about the president's throat wound and back or back of the neck wound, depending on your JFK assassination worldview, the Warren Report's position on those wounds, and the Seibert and O'Neill Report. We began exploring the chain of custody of Commission Exhibit 399, the so-called magic bullet itself, in the last episode. Today, we'll continue reviewing the single bullet theory by looking at more details about this mysterious artifact.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
This is Solving JFK. I'm your host, Matt Crumpton. Let's get back to the chain of custody of this bullet, CE-399. There's a document known as Commission Exhibit 2011, which is a response from the FBI to questions from the Warren Commission about various items of physical evidence. The report says on page 2 that FBI agent Bardwell Odom questioned both Tomlinson, the guy who found the bullet, and Wright, the hospital security chief, on June 12, 1964, about this bullet. We talked earlier about a discrepancy between what O.P. Wright told Josiah Thompson and what CE-2011 attributes to Wright. According to CE-2011, Wright couldn't identify the specific bullet, but he said CE-399 looked like the one that he found. Yet, he told Josiah Thompson that the one he found was completely different from how CE-399 looked. It was pointed. It wasn't round like the bullet we have in evidence. After searching the underlying records at the National Archives that would support this FBI memo, Thompson and his fellow researcher, Dr. Gary Aguilar, couldn't find any documents from Agent Odom or anything else to support the idea that Tomlinson and Wright had said that CE-399 looks like the bullet they saw. So Dr. Aguilar personally reached out to Agent Odom to see if he could shed some light on this discrepancy, since Odom was the one who interviewed Wright, according to the FBI's report. When Dr. Aguilar spoke to Odom to ask about it, Odom said, quote, "I didn't show it, CE-399, to anybody at Parkland. I didn't have any bullet. I don't know where you got that from, but it is wrong." Odom then confirmed that Dr. Aguilar was asking about the bullet that they found at Parkland on the stretcher. And then he said, quote, "I don't think I ever saw it even." So to recap, the FBI told the Warren Commission that Agent Odom interviewed the first two people to find the so-called magic bullet, and they both said that that bullet basically looked like CE-399, but they couldn't be sure that it was exactly the same one. But Odom, when asked in 2002 by researchers, said that he never showed a bullet to anyone at Parkland, and he never even saw CE-399. Sure, Odom was 82 years old at this time, but why would he lie about that? And remember, there are no original documents that support Agent Odom interviewing Tomlinson and Wright. So his story is consistent with all of the documents except the summary document, CE-2011. Odom's incredible claim appears to be further supported by a declassified FBI Airtel memo from the FBI Dallas special agent in charge, Gordon Shanklin, to J. Edgar Hoover, head of the FBI. The memo, written on June 20th of 1964, says, quote, "Neither Daryl Tomlinson, who found the bullet at Parkland Hospital, nor O.P. Wright, the personnel officer who obtained the bullet from Tomlinson and gave it to the Secret Service, can identify the bullet." Notably, this airtell is 8 days after Odom would have obtained the identification of the bullet from Tomlinson and Wright, according to CE 2011. If CE-399 was in fact found on Governor Connally's stretcher, at what point did it come out of his thigh? We have a clue to this question from a Parkland Hospital press conference. After operating on Governor Connally, Dr. Robert Shaw said that he had not yet taken the bullet out of Connally's leg and that it was still in his left thigh and would be taken out before he went to the recovery room. Here is Dr. Shaw at that press conference on the day of the assassination.
They're asking now if the bullet was found in his leg.
The bullet is in the leg. It hasn't been removed. This is a very insignificant factor, though. It will be removed. Left thigh. But there's no significant injury to the left thigh. Before he goes to the recovery room.
It was asked, when will it be removed?
The issue with this timeline is that Tomlinson found the stretcher bullet at 1 p.m., but the press conference was later in the afternoon. If the bullet was still in Connally's thigh after the first surgery, per the testimony of Dr. Shaw, then the bullet on the stretcher could not be the one that came from Connally's thigh. Now, I could not confirm the time of Dr. Shaw's press conference, so I took a look at the original medical reports from Parkland Hospital. The operative report on Governor Connally says that the operation on his back and ribs began at 1:35 p.m. and ended at 3:20 p.m. The medical report notes in the last sentence, quote, "As soon as the operation on the chest had been concluded, Dr. Gregory and Dr. Shires started the surgery that was necessary for the wounds of the right wrist and left thigh." Next, I looked at the medical report filed by Dr. Shires, which describes the treatment of Connally's thigh wound. It says that X-rays revealed that a bullet fragment was embedded in the femur. There is no mention of a bullet being found at any time. The surgery was from 4 p.m. to 4:20 p.m. So according to the official medical records from Parkland, there was never a bullet found from Connally's thigh. Now, according to Governor Connally himself in his autobiography, a bullet fell out of his thigh and was picked up by a nurse. Connally says, quote, "The most curious discovery of all took place when they rolled me off the stretcher and onto the examining table. A metal object fell to the floor with a click no louder than a wedding band. The nurse picked it up and slipped it into her pocket. It was the bullet from my body, the one that passed through my back, chest, and wrist and worked itself loose from my thigh." Governor Connally's description of how the bullet in his thigh was found is in direct conflict with the Warren Report's description of how CE-399 was found. This appears to be a different bullet because it has an entirely different chain of custody. Here, in the granular details, is where it gets really interesting. According to the Warren Report, and as we have seen confirmed by Dr. Shires in his medical report, after Governor Connally's surgeries were concluded, quote, "a small metallic fragment remained in the governor's leg." Other than CE-399, the only bullets or fragments that were recovered from Connally are in Commission Exhibit 842, which contains the bullet fragments that came from Governor Connally's wrist. The official story as told by CE-842 is that Nurse Audrey Bell gave Dallas police officer Bobby Nolan metal fragments from Connolly's wrist. But according to Nurse Bell and Officer Nolan, that's not exactly what happened. Officer Nolan, in an interview with researcher Robert Harris, says that while he was in the hospital, an unknown nurse came up to him because he was in uniform and gave him what she described as, quote, a bullet that came off of Governor Connolly's gurney. Nolan says that the item was in a sealed little brown envelope and that he did not check for himself to see if it was a bullet or just fragments. Officer Nolan brought the envelope to the Dallas Police Headquarters and gave it to Captain Will Fritz. He was interviewed by the FBI the next day, and in that interview confirmed that the bullet came from Connolly's thigh. The idea that Officer Nolan had a bullet from Governor Connolly's thigh is also supported by an interview with Dallas District Attorney Henry Wade in the Dallas Morning News. Wade said, quote, I also went out to see Connolly, but he was in the operating room. Some nurse had a bullet in her hand and said this was on the gurney that Connolly was on. I talked with Nellie Connolly a while and then went on home. When he was asked, what did you do with the bullet? Is this the famous pristine bullet people have talked about? Connolly said, quote, I told her to give it to the police, which she said she would. I assume that's the pristine bullet. But according to Nurse Audrey Bell's sworn testimony before the Assassination Records Review Board, she processed four bullet fragments from Connolly's wrist, not thigh, and gave the fragments to plainclothes federal agents who were either FBI or Secret Service. Nurse Bell says that she never had possession of a bullet from Governor Connolly's thigh or even fragments from his thigh. Her sole involvement was with processing bullet fragments from Connolly's wrist. The statements from Nurse Bell to the ARRB and from Officer Nolan to the FBI tend to support the idea that the two of them never interacted at all on the day of the assassination. Instead, critics argue, the Warren Commission made it sound like Nurse Bell was giving bullet fragments from Connolly's wrist to Nolan, when in reality, an unknown nurse gave Officer Nolan an envelope with a full bullet in it from Connolly's thigh. Then, conspiracy theorists claim, that full bullet was lost, and a narrative was constructed that Nurse Bell had actually given Officer Nolan the wrist fragments. Warren Report defenders point out that Officer Nolan's initials are on the wrist fragment envelope sheet for CE-842, and someone would have had to forge Officer Nolan's initials if they're not authentic. But that's exactly what conspiracy theorists believe happened. They argue that forging initials would not be very hard to do. According to Vincent Bugliosi, the chain of custody for CE-399 is, quote, a giant non-issue. Bugliosi says that since we know the bullet was fired from Oswald's Carcano rifle and wasn't found on Kennedy's stretcher, it had to be found on Connolly's stretcher. Sure, that's true, but only assuming everything else the Warren Report alleges is also true. Bugliosi says that we know CE-399 is the bullet that did the damage because we know that Oswald did it. Yeah, but what if he didn't? Or what if he did, but there was also another shooter? Okay, so I've never been a huge weed person, but this guy that I know, let's just say, is. So whether you're like me or the guy I know, or you're really into weed, whatever it is, you're about to nerd out big because there's this company called Mood, Mood.com, that's changing the way people buy cannabis. Here's the science, and this is the part I love. The reason different cannabis strains make you feel different ways isn't just about THC. It's also based on other components called terpenes. terpenes. Terpenes influence how your bud tastes and smells, but they also affect what you feel. So one terpene might make you feel uplifted and energetic, and another one makes you relaxed and sleepy. There are dozens of these, so when you have the right combination of terpenes, you can feel social, focused, creative, aroused, chilled out, or whatever. You just go to mood.com, click Shop by Mood, and that's it. Want to be more social at a party? There's flower for that. Need to focus and get more work done? There's flower for that. Want to melt into your couch and watch movies? Yep, flower for that too. And here's the part few people realize. It's now 100% federally legal to have really great bud shipped right to your door. It's third-party lab tested and comes in a discreet box. Best of all, everything is backed by Mood's 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And like I said, you can get 20% off with code JFK. So head to mood.com and get 20% off of your first order with code JFK. You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact that you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. So visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary. Another hot topic with CE-399 is the weight of the bullet. We know the weight of the bullet before it is fired by weighing other similar Carcano ammo. And we know the weight of CE-399. Parkland doctors found bullet fragments inside of Governor Connally's body, as we just discussed. Warren Report critics argue that the total weight of those fragments, plus the weight of CE-399, is more than the weight of a Carcano bullet. The Warren Report says, quote, "All the evidence indicated that the bullet found on Governor Connally's stretcher could have caused all his wounds. An X-ray of the governor's wrist showed very minute metallic fragments, and two or three of these fragments were removed from his wrist. All these fragments were sufficiently small and light so that nearly the whole bullet found on the stretcher could have deposited those pieces of metal as it tumbled through his wrist." So there you have it from the Warren Report. There was only a tiny amount of fragments found in Connally's wrist, such that CE-399 could have caused the wounds. To reach this conclusion, the Warren Report fairly summarizes the statements of Dr. Shaw, Dr. Gregory, and Dr. Shires from their March 1964 depositions. The Warren Report conclusions about whether CE-399 could have been the magic bullet, however, are not consistent with what Dr. Shaw and Dr. Gregory said the second time before the commission in April of 1964. At that time, the doctors were able to view the Zapruder film, CE-399 itself, and other physical evidence that they had never seen before. In his April testimony, Dr. Shaw said, quote, "Examination of the wrist both by X-ray and at the time of surgery showed some fragments of metal that make it difficult to believe that the same missile could have caused these two wounds. There seems to be more than 3 grains of metal in the wrist. I feel that there would be some difficulty explaining all of the wounds as being inflicted by bullet exhibit 399 without causing more in the way of loss of substance to the bullet or deformation of the bullet," end quote. Dr. Gregory similarly gave testimony that doubted the plausibility of the single bullet theory. Two autopsy surgeons also opined on the topic of whether CE-399 could have been the magic bullet. Dr. Humes said it was most unlikely that CE-399 caused the injuries. He said, quote, "This missile is basically intact. Its jacket appears to me to be intact, and I do not understand how it could possibly have left fragments in the governor's wrist. Regarding whether CE-399 was the bullet that came from Connolly's thigh," Dr. Humes said, quote, "I think that extremely unlikely because reports from Parkland tell of x-rays taken there described as showing metallic fragments in the bone, which apparently by this report were not removed and are still present in Governor Connolly's thigh." Dr. Fink, in his April testimony, noted that, quote, "the bullet which inflicted the wound on Governor Connolly's right wrist could not have been CE-399. Because there are too many fragments described in that wrist." According to the Warren Report, the weight of CE-399 is 158.6 grains. The weight of a single unfired Carcano bullet is 160.84 grains on average, with a range of 159.8 to 161.5. The bullet fragments from Governor Connolly's wrist weighed 2 grains. Thus, if you add the 2 grains from the wrist to the 158.6 grains from CE-399, you have 160.6 grains. This is within the average range of a Carcano bullet. The continuing controversy about the weight of CE-399 relates to the mysterious thigh fragment. The argument is that since there is a bullet fragment that is still in Governor Connolly's femur, you can assume that, at a minimum, the femur fragment would make the weight of the bullet too heavy to be plausible. After Governor Connolly died, there was an unsuccessful attempt to plead with then-Attorney General Janet Reno for any remaining bullet fragments to be removed from Connolly's thigh. That way they could be weighed and compared to CE-399. That request was not granted. But if more than 1 grain remained in Governor Connolly's thigh, CE-399 plus the grains associated with it becomes too heavy to be the same Carcano bullet. Finally, we can't talk about CE-399 without discussing its condition. It's been described as a pristine bullet, but it's not exactly pristine. If you look at the bullet from the bottom, you can tell that it's deformed. The question is whether it was as deformed as you would expect it to be after going through one person and then hitting a rib and a wrist bone in another person. Luckily for us, there were tests done to determine what the bullet would look like after being shot so that we can compare CE-399 to other rounds of the same type of ammo. Army wound ballistics expert Dr. Alfred Olivier tested 260 rounds of the same type of ammo that Oswald allegedly used from the same Carcano rifle that was found in the schoolbook depository. In total, we have 4 bullets in the record from these tests that we can compare to CE-399. The first bullet of the FBI ballistic tests is CE-856, which was fired into a human cadaver wrist and had its nose completely flattened. There is also CE-853, which is more deformed than CE-399, but we do not know what it was shot at. Finally, the FBI fired the 2 bullets in evidence as CE-572 as additional comparison bullets. These 2 bullets closely resemble CE-399. Researchers have speculated that the FBI fired the bullets into cotton bales to avoid fragmentation, but we don't know what these bullets were actually fired at. The Warren Report did not disclose that information. When the HSCA reopened the case, they put all four available test bullets next to CE-399 so that they could be more easily compared. You can take a look at the difference for yourself. The two bullets that are closest to CE-399 are the ones from CE-572 that the FBI fired into what? We don't know. You can see CE-856 on the end. It's the one bullet that we know with certainty was fired into a human wrist. If a bullet is completely flattened by hitting a human wrist, wouldn't it be in even worse shape if it hit ribs and then a wrist? On top of all of this, CE-842 shows the size of the fragments that came from Connolly's wrist, and those fragments are just too big to have come from CE-399. There are also additional fragments that remained in Connolly's body. It's hard to believe that the fragments of the size that came out of Connolly's wrist could have come from CE-399. And if you think they did, where exactly on CE-399 do you think those grains came from?
One last thing on the condition of CE-399. When you look at the pictures of it, you'll see that there's a small dent that's noticeable at the tip of the bullet. Second only to the mild deformation in the bottom of the bullet, this is the most noticeable defect that I can see. We learn more from the testimony of FBI firearms expert Robert Frazier about this dent. Frazier says, quote, "On the nose of the bullet is a small dent or scraped area. At this area, the spectrographic examiner removed a small quantity of metal for analysis." So that little dent wasn't a defect in the bullet from hitting something. It was a place where a piece of the bullet was removed to be analyzed at the lab. Sure, that bullet was fired, and it's not completely pristine. But it's hard to believe that this particular bullet, CE-399, would have only that damage at the bottom of the bullet based on everything we heard today. But, of course, there's much more to discuss. Next time on Solving JFK, we'll continue looking at the medical evidence and the single bullet theory. If you heard anything on this episode that lacks context or you think is incorrect, please let us know. You can email solvingjfkpodcast@gmail.com. Please provide a citation, and we'll consider it for a future rebuttal episode.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas.
The flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Thanks for listening. Visit solvingjfkpodcast.com for more information.